Okay, we could start our sermon by turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We had a beautiful graduation yesterday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the graduates, their photos are here. And yesterday, we were standing up here, and they were up here standing along on the rooftop. It was a memorable day. And I think in the future, graduating classes will say, we would like to have a graduation like in 2020. We want to be on the rooftop. We also are thinking of our convention that we have in August. And we think of having this as a venue in the future. Somebody said to me, have you lost any step in this process these last few months? I said, no, I don't think we've missed a step. Maybe we've gained two, not because of us, but God's love and grace and His Spirit that dwells in us and helps us look at life a certain way. Not everybody looks at life the right way. Actually, I just changed my message. I think I'll turn to 2 Kings 4 and use that text. It does relate to our 9 o'clock. As long as we don't blow away, we're okay. Okay. In the 9 o'clock service, we spoke from the book of James on making plans, but not including God in the plans. In James 4, verse 15. How important it is that we would have a spiritual life where we would be able to hear God. Sometimes we don't hear Him and build our life on what He has said. Matthew 7, 24 to 26. A man who hears my words and does them is like a man who builds his house on a rock. So when the storm comes, or the coronavirus, or sudden death of a loved one, or a broken relationship, a broken heart, the house will stand. They say that the suicide hotlines in the country are 600% higher now than a year ago. Why is there that emptiness, that hurt, that fear, that loneliness? Because we can't hear. We don't hear. Yes, we hear a lot of news and reports and opinions and Facebook postings of chatter and words. A lot comes from anger and frustration. But wouldn't it be worthwhile to hear what the still small voice of God would say to me? He that hears my teaching and does what I say, he is like a man building his house on a rock. But the other house falls down. The storm comes, and it's washed away. I've been in different parts of the world. I've seen houses without foundations swept away by a flooded river. We have seen ice melting and destroying a home. We have seen hurricanes and storms destroy homes, and these things destroy lives. Be swift to hear, James says, and slow to post on Facebook. Let me say it the way James said. He said, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Why are we slow to speak? Because I don't know all things. Because I don't have fear and strife in my heart, like the proverb says. That strife in the heart produces slander, that people attack other people because of what is in the heart. I am angry. I am afraid. So I speak a lot. I talk a lot. I express myself a lot. This is so filled, it's so empty with what I want to say this morning. Because there's something that you and I have that is so rock solid. The psalmist said, set me on a rock higher than myself. A man had a girlfriend in high school, and he loved her, and they broke up. It's a true story. They broke up, and he went home, and he took his life for a girl. No, it was not the girl. It was his broken heart, his disappointment. It was his life collapsed. His life was shattered. Why? Because there wasn't content. Content. How do I get it? Well, Jesus came. And imagine Jesus walking here. I read it early this morning, about 4 in the morning, as I woke up early for some reason. And I just started to read the Gospel of Mark. And God was speaking to my heart about how Jesus came and how miraculous it was and how unusual and how humble God is and how good God is and how he came and he cares. And everything he's saying and everything he's doing is saying, I care. I care for people. I care for their brokenness. I care for their emptiness. I care for people. I came to save them. I came to teach them. I came to heal them. I am the Christ. I am God in the flesh. In Hebrews 1, in verse 3, the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. When we see him, we see the Father. When we see Jesus, we see the nature of God. And when we hear him, listen to that. When I hear him, that's why our church services are important. That's why our connections with each other. Norm Myers and his group that walks around the track and prays in the mornings. And the different groups, Gary Grunwald and others that meet, and Pastor Siraji walks this parking lot and with different people praying and thinking about our vision, our Bible college, our faith, reaching the country, reaching the world with the message. Because if we hear, we will help others to hear. That's the key to life. It isn't that my circumstances are good. It's that God is with me when my circumstances are bad, and also when they are good. But we learn to walk with Him. Psalm 73, none do I have on earth but only you. And listen to this, none in heaven but only you. Why is so little you written in the scripture, Revelation 20, 21, 22, that describes heaven to us? In a way, there's a lot there, but it's only three chapters. And it's telling us about heaven, but it's not a lot of material. There's a city and the size of it and the numbers inside and the way it is. But why is there so little? Because we will not be occupied with heaven itself except in the context of God Himself. That's who we want. That's who we know is God. So now we get quiet and we hear. I listen to the doctrine. I listen to messages, at least one every day. We've been taught that for decades, and we live that way. I receive something here and something there. Feed yourself. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you are reading. Be careful what you are receiving. Be careful how you make your plans, because it might not happen. We know not what a day will bring forth. In the past months, people have found, I can't go to an NBA basketball game. I can't go to a golf tournament. I can't go to my favorite restaurant. I can't go on my vacation. I cannot travel here or there, and so on. So I must be home. But that's okay, because I've learned how to think about things and bring God into my life in everything. And God has a way. These are good times. These are times of opportunities. These are times when God is speaking to hearts. These are good times of grace and love. God, opportunity times. So let's read the story, 2 Kings chapter 4. Wednesday night service. It's usually drive-in. This Wednesday, keep your eye on our postings. I'm not sure, because it's going to be 91 degrees that day. I'm not sure if we'll be outside or inside. But the story reads here, 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." This woman was a believer. Her husband, who had passed, was a Bible college student, and he was connected with Elijah the prophet, who had the school, the prophets. And she could say, my husband went to Bible college, and now we are living in some kind of poverty, and now they want to take my two children to pay the debt, and my two children will be slaves. And there is a turn of events that's a great disappointment to her. Now, I think this can happen to any one of us. I think in the past week, I've known five people that have passed into eternity, and people that I've known. A turn of events. Someone passing. changes, disappointments. I lost my husband, now I'm going to lose my two sons. But the good news here in the story is that the woman went to the right person. She went to Elijah. Yesterday we had a barbecue up in Harford County with many people from the graduating class. We gathered up there for a barbecue and had a beautiful time. And I was taking note of the families and extended families. And we were just rejoicing in what God has done by teaching us how to walk in the Spirit and how it affects our families, how it affects our relationships and our friendships. It doesn't mean that there couldn't be a turn of events where there would be a great disappointment or something broken. Yes, that happens. Yes, with churches and believers. Yes, that happens. Paul went to prison. Timothy seemed like he had a tendency to fear and timidity. We see Jesus with the apostles, disciples forsaking him at the cross. We see Peter or James martyred, Stephen stoned. God has not promised us a rose garden, but he's promised us his son. And can we hear him? Can we hear him before the trouble ever comes? Can we hear him before the poverty comes? Can we hear him before we lose our house or our child or our health? Can we hear him today? Elijah, this is my problem. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house? What do you have? Well, I have way back in the cupboard, way back deep down in the cellar, I have way back tucked away in my heart, I have some oil. I got that oil in a meeting. I got that oil when my husband ministered to me. I got that oil way a long time ago. I've got a little bit of oil left. And Elijah said to her, then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. I was thinking of different kinds of vessels we could come up with, styrofoam cups, plastic, potters for plants, barrels, empty barrels, oil barrels, waste paper baskets, plastic pails. We could come up with all kinds of vessels, Coca-Cola tin cans. We could come up with all kinds of vessels. We could go out and borrow. And Elijah said, don't borrow a few. Get the empty vessels. In a way, I think that means that the answer is coming, but maybe not the way I expected. I wish that he had pulled out his credit card and paid my bill on the spot. I wish he pulled out a stack of bills and gave me the cash, and that solved my problem. But instead, God is asking me to live by faith. Because when you borrow empty vessels, you don't know what you're going to get inside them. You don't know what's coming. And that's like life. When you come to a service like this one, it's like gathering an empty vessel because you don't know what's coming. But there needs to be a vessel for the oil because the oil is coming. It's going to be poured out. It's coming. Well, does it come like in one time? No, it might be another vessel, another time. Another empty vessel, another decision. I was reading the biography of D.L. Moody, and they said that if he had not become an evangelist, he was so hardworking, so administratively capable. He was already making thousands of dollars when you were paid $4 a day, but he was making thousands of dollars a month just in his business capability. They said that he would have become one of the wealthiest men in the United States. But he had a time when he was working at the YMCA. This is like in 1860, 61, and 62. And he was ministering to Civil War soldiers who were dying from the battlefield wounds and bringing them to Jesus and gathering ragamuffin young kids out of the ghetto areas of Chicago and preaching to them. And he lay down on a bench and he thought about it. It was a long struggle. It took months for him to decide, I want to go into business. I know I could do this, but I want to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. He made that decision. You see, he borrowed some empty vessels, but God was coming to answer him and fill him with not only the oil of the Holy Spirit, but revival. And maybe they say that he led a million souls to the Lord in his lifetime. And he traveled more than a million miles. And sometimes he went on, he did in 2 weeks' time, 19 different meetings. And he crossed the Atlantic a number of times to bring the message there too. And he wanted to meet Charles Spurgeon. And he wanted to meet George Mueller. And because these men were very important to him. Okay, then Elijah said, go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door. She shut the door. Do you know God is like a God of secrets? He doesn't tell his secrets to everybody. He doesn't show it, but he'll show it to you. Deuteronomy 29:29. He shares his secrets with us and our children's children. That there's something a secret. There's something we learn about walking with God. You realize how good he is, how great he is, how much he answers, what he does for you, how he closes the door and opens the door. You find that God is leading you in your life. I was talking with some of the brothers, and we were talking about our wives and how unusual it was and how God gave me a wife and how that happened and the whole thing and how I could never do that. I could not figure it out and so on. And we just had fellowship about it. But it's more than that. It's not about the wife. It's about the fact that God is God, and God can do anything, and God can speak, and God can answer, and God can raise the dead, and God can cast out demons, and God can save a soul and change a heart. It's about God can take an addiction away. God can satisfy a person it's not like you can go on the internet and Google and buy some God and have Federal Express or Amazon Prime deliver God to your door. It's different. It's something in your heart. And this woman had to make some decision. Okay, we'll get the empty vessels. I trust you, Elijah. I don't understand it, but I'll do it. Do you really think that will answer my problem? Do you really think that that's what I really need to do? Yes. That's what you do. This is about God. This is different. Trust him. Believe in him. Walk with him. They did it. They started pouring the oil to shut the door. Nobody really saw where the oil came from, but they knew. Same in John chapter 2, when the water is turned into wine. They didn't really know, but the people that put the water in the jars and then pulled out the wine, they knew, but the others didn't know. Where did the wine come from? How did this happen? And they knew, just like you. You know how it works. You know how good it is. You know how precious it is. But let me warn all of us, we have something in us that just goes up and down, you know. We don't learn how to really hear and be consistently walking in a faith walk. We are people that are, well, let me finish the story. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. When one is full, set it aside. So she went from him, shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there is not another. And then the oil stopped flowing. It stopped. Bring me another vessel. There isn't any. Yes, there must be. Bring another one. It's still coming. It's still coming. No, there are no more vessels. Maybe we have not because we ask not. Maybe we don't have because we don't have a measure of faith. If I give God a teacup, maybe that's what I'll get back. If I give God a swimming pool, that's what I'll get back. If I give God my life, that's what he'll do for me. If I give God my situation, it's God that will help me and answer. And then it says there, she said, bring another one. And there wasn't. It stopped. She came and told the man of God. He said, go sell the oil. Pay your debts. You and your sons can live on the rest. Living on the rest. Let's finish with that thought today. Living on, I've felt that too. I'm living on the rest. I got some oil left over. I've got extra oil that I can live on. I'm living on a sweet memories. I'm living on a heritage. I've got oil left over that I can live on. And that's what I want for all of us today to think about. Don't underestimate the day of small beginnings. Don't underestimate the value of your trials. Don't give up. I think the people that are giving up are the emotional people that are so hurt and afraid and troubled and worried, and they cannot digest life. They don't have a capacity. And so they are so hurt and emotional and talking and depressed and they judging and all kinds of things that happen from the human heart. But let's think of it this way. Get quiet before God and say, Lord, what? And he says, I want you to have faith vision for Baltimore City. I want you to see every child in Baltimore City as an opportunity. I want you to see your neighborhood as an opportunity. I want you to see your country as a needy place that needs to hear Christ and evangelism and the ministry of love. I want you to talk about forgiveness at work. And I want at work you to talk about truth and grace and talk about faith. I want you to talk at work about humility and have a testimony and say, God exalts the humble. God will answer prayer. God cares about you. God loves you. You have a future. Don't let the external things define for you your life. If I lose a girlfriend, I say to God, God, you are my God. That woman is not my God. You are my God. My God is, my life is not defined by a woman. My life is defined by God and what God says. And it says they gather the empty vessels. I said, I don't have empty vessels mean nothing. But Jesus said, do that, do it. And trust me, I will fill them. I will satisfy you. I will help you. I will lead you. I will show you. that young man, God could give him a wife in his perfect will, and it would be the best thing. God could give a business. God can help me. God can teach me. God can provide for us and lead us and help us. Lastly, there's a lot of energy over here on Facebook, a lot of chatter, a lot of talking, conspiracy this and this and that, and all this emotion and everything, and all hatred, and Minneapolis is on fire. Why? Because of emotion, because injustice, because of a storm, because of something that went wrong, and people have a reaction. That is not God. That is not God. Where is God? God is in the still small voice. He is in the hiding place in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. He is in Christ. He is on a cross. He is resurrected. He is in the empty tomb. No, he's out of the tomb. The tomb is empty, and he's ascended into heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit into this world that we would love like God loves. We would forgive like God forgives. We would pray like God prays. We would serve like God serves. And we would have the oil and the anointing and the blessing and the strength and the energy and the mission and the vision. And more churches would be planted, more disciples made, more pastors raised up, more prayer meetings attended, more souls won, more things changed, more blessing coming. That's his will. Amen. Would you pray with me? If you're here this morning and you can hear my voice, then I would like to say something to you. You've already heard what we want to say. But now I want to say to you, God loves you. God gives you an invitation. Don't pay attention to us here. Don't pay attention to the building or to me, or pay attention to look beyond it and see that we are some expression of God's effort to reach out to you and say to you, come to him as you are. Don't try to clean up and say, I come later after I get my life in order. That's what I thought as a young man when I came to Christ. I thought, I need to get my life straightened out. Then I will come to Jesus. It'll never happen. And if it did, it wouldn't be right, because he wants you to come now with all your baggage as a sinner in need. He wants you to come today as you are, with your problems, with yourself, with your failures, with your sins. And he will take you and clean you, save you, fill you, and the Holy Spirit will come into your life. And walk by faith in him and learn of him. He is meek and lowly. But you have to say right now in your heart, yes to Jesus, please. Say yes to Jesus right now in your heart. Please say to Jesus, here I am. I trust you. Thank you. You love me. Save me. Forgive me. I am sorry. I am a sinner. You must save me, Jesus, and fill me. I don't want to just have a confession alone. I want to know you. I want the real thing. I want the living Jesus in my life. And I want to learn about it. I want to grow in it. I want to see you, God, in my life. And I'm going to walk by faith in you. I want to do what you say. I want to trust you. I can't. I can't as I am. But I come to you and I ask you for that great miracle of regeneration. the miracle of salvation, the miracle of forgiveness. And save me in Jesus' name, I pray. Anyone at all saying that prayer, I want you to know you are a child of God starting today. On this day, May 31st, 2020, you are a child of God. And get a Bible and start to read it and walk by faith in Jesus. Talk to Him. He will answer you. He will help you. Read the Bible and learn by faith. Walk with Jesus in simplicity. In Jesus' name. Afterwards, if you want to meet us, we'll be down front here after the service and the exit and so on. You can park around different places and hang out if you like. And then tonight, the service will be here inside at 6:30 tonight. Is that right? 6:30, yeah. In Jesus' name, amen.